Yeah, it was not a topic that that I've talked about, but yeah, Ring of Honor already before we hit record here, guys, Kevin DeFranco, Jeremy Mays,
Hello.
we were talking about Ring of Honor closed, but now they've already announced a reopening date in April. Because it's WrestleMania weekend. Aren't they piggybacking WrestleMania weekend?
Smart weekend to do it. I'm so far on the loop with WWE.
Yeah, I think that's what the case is. I mean, we just kind of came at this off the cuff, so I didn't exactly pull up a
No,
story
it's fine.
for it. But I believe that's the case, is that they're coming back WrestleMania weekend, and I'm like, you guys are barely closed for 4 months. Like, what? They did something, like, I guess I'm confused because, from a creative standpoint, they took off the most time at the beginning of the pandemic because of their recording situation. Because they had recorded a bunch of TV before the pandemic got really crazy. But then they didn't have anything for a long time, and they rebooted it, recentered things on the Pure Division, and kind of keeping that and regular wrestling separate again. And like, I guess you'd kind of come up with a little bit of a new vision, so to speak, of Ring of Honor, even though it was reverting back to the old stuff. Like, I thought it was making it distinct from the WWE, you know what I mean? By having a pure division, like anything to kind of set you aside, helps these days. And I thought that was a nice step. So I don't think it'd be a good idea to reboot creative, but that could be on deck, I suppose.
If you clean house with the creative, I think it's a good idea. To read, like, it's kind of like, it's not the same, by the way, but it's akin to, remember when WCW did that bullshit with the Millionaires and the New Blood, but they kept the same writers? Where, like, they stripped the titles from everybody and started everything all over again, but kept the same damn people writing the show. It's like, this is stupid. No, I have no faith in this, and I don't know what Ring of Honor is doing. I don't know if you've been watching Impact at all, which if you haven't, watch it.
Oh,
Legitimately, I can't believe I'm saying that.
are
It's
they actually
awful.
on YouTube currently? 'Cause is their
I don't
YouTube
know, but
show
they have.
live?
Okay, yes, they moved ATI to YouTube, and it's a quote-unquote live show. But then, so they have, like, they actually have, like, a digital title that Jordan Grace, or Jordan Grace, it's a Jordan, whatever.
Jordan Grace, I believe.
Okay, she's the champion, but it's an all, it's like, it's anyone can challenge for it, any of that stuff. So, like, Matt Cardona now is going after her title. So they can do, like, the intergender wrestling, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of, it's cool. I mean, it's different. It's different. All right, on the Ring of Honor part, like, I don't know what they're doing because Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, Marie Kanellis, and Smooth Edit and Vincent all of a sudden show up in Ring of or show up in Impact and start beating on everybody, and they're like the Ring of Honor, the non-honorable Ring of Honor, because John Gresham's there. As the Ring of Honor champion, Roxy shows up as the Ring of Honor champion, loses the title to Deonna Purrazzo. So they're still carrying on the lineage of the Ring of Honor titles, but there's no Ring of Honor. And now they're coming back already, and it's like, well, wait, you don't have any contracted wrestlers. I'm guessing they're going back to their old roots of having just their independent only. where anyone and anyone can show up. I guess that's what they said, but I'm just lost. I think Taven, Bennett, and Vincent all signed with Ring of Honor. I'm sorry, Impact. So unless they have a working agreement, which it seems like they do, they're actually Impact wrestlers now. I just don't know what they're doing. It seemed like they needed, for budgetary reasons, to go, hey, you guys got to go. And we're just going to start over with a clean, like, you know, bottom line, whatever sheet they use in business. I'm four in, so I'm trying to figure out what works.
I'm just starting. But yeah, I get your point. Like, I'm not sure what they're doing. You know, like, why do you let everyone go of their contracts when you know the regroup is going to be pretty quick? How are you going to fill that roster? Like, what are you going to do exactly?
Yeah, I have no idea. And it's also odd to me, like, WWE can get away with this. I guess AEW can. Even Impact, New Japan, GCW, they can all get away with selling tickets to a show without announcing a card because people know who are on their roster. So that even if you're not getting high-profile matches, you're still going to see the people you want to see, or people you expect to see, I guess. Where Ring of Honor, you're buying a ticket to a show that's it. You don't know who's going to show up. Now, I know we still have time. Is it what? It's April?
Correct. Yeah, it's April sometime.
So you still have time, but, you know, it's an odd sales pitch, to put it lightly. Like, hey, you want to buy a car? Yeah. Okay. Give me money for the car. Well, what is it? It's a car. Don't worry about it. I don't know about this. I'm not quite sure. So.
Yeah, it is being as vague as possible. And, I mean, I'm assuming that they're probably not looking for a giant, you know, they're probably not in some big venue. Most of the places that they have done around here have been, like, in the 1500 area. You know, it's not, like, even 3,000. Like, I want to say that most of the most of the stuff that NXT has done has been 3,000 or so.
Wait, are you talking attendance?
Attendance, yeah.
Okay, because there's no chance Ring of Honor pulls 1,500 people without a card. I mean, everybody's gone. Technically, everybody's gone. Jay Lethal's gone. Like, Gresham is still the champion. I guess he'll have to show up, I guess. I mean, you don't have to. But I'm pretty sure Rouge, Bandito, all of them, they're all gone. Like, there's no obligation. So, I mean, dead serious, take away some of those guys that were drawing minimal crowds as it were. You take them out of the mix and go, Jonathan Gresham and are the Briscoes still the tag team champions?
Yeah. Oh, where did I just see them? They just popped up somewhere.
Oh, they've been doing some funny videos about FTR. That's been pretty funny, actually. But there's just no chance that the Briscoes and Ring of Honor, for as long as they've existed, I think that's right.
Yeah, they've been there the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, unless they do pull off FTR versus the Briscoes at a Ring of Honor show, but again, you need to advertise that in order to sell tickets, because who in their right mind is going to buy a show, But take it for a show, sight unseen, with apps actually no roster. A legitimate zero zilch roster. That's insanity to me.
Yeah, I guess they're counting on people. Well, maybe I guess they've got to announce something before then. Like, I wonder if they've had any sales as of yet.
I don't know. Let me see.
You know, I guess that's something that that I did not really pay attention to this week. So,
I'm looking. I think this is wrong. What I'm looking at, by the way. But okay, yeah, Supercard of Honor, April 1st, Dallas-Fort Worth. They go on sale January 21st, so they have not tomorrow. Actually, as of recording.
And
for Honor Club members, January 28th, for everybody else. So I guess Supercard of Honor does have a... I want to make sure I'm getting this right first. It does appear that there is a main event. Okay, so it's going to be Bandido versus Jonathan Gresham to determine the undisputed Ring of Honor champion. So there you go. That is your main event, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's some place to start.
Yeah. And it really sucks that Jonathan Gresham's 4 foot tall. Legit, what, 5'1"? It just kind of sucks because he's really good. Like, I've seen him in person.
Yeah.
He really stood out, even with his stature.
Yeah, he's really great. He was one of the reasons to watch, still kind of occasionally watch Ring of Honor here, just because his matches there were great.
Yeah, because I think when we saw last Ring of Honor show I went to, it was him versus Jay Lethal, and I was not familiar with Jonathan Gresham at all. I'm like, who the hell is this tiny guy? And all of a sudden, it was a really competitive match, which is like, well, do you give that on Jay Lethal, or is Gresham just that good? But it was really good. I mean,
yeah.
So I was like, okay, this guy's gonna be a really good mid card guy, just based on his size, yes. And then here we are. He's the champ. He's a pure champion.
No, he's the champ. Or he was the champ.
So he's the champion.
Yeah, okay. He was the champion of ROH.
Okay. I already clicked off the link.
Yeah, because he was the first pure champion when they rebooted it. But then he lost it to Josh Woods, and then he went after the main championship. So, yeah.
Oh. Well, I guess that's what I get for not paying attention to Ring of Honor that close. Because I tried, but then, especially during football season, Ring of Honor was consistently getting preempted around here. Every single time I'm watching a high school football game, or I'm watching, not even Boise State, but like some Sun Belt team playing somebody else in daylight when it's supposed to be on at 11 o'clock at night. I'm like, okay. So... It became very hard to watch them on a consistent basis, and I always forget to look on YouTube for at least to keep track of it.
You
know, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't do. I still want to say that I'm like 2 months behind. You know what I mean? Like, it still was not that high of a priority for me.
No. As we've consistently covered, there's a lot of wrestling.
Yeah, there's a lot of wrestling, and some of it kind of got cut. And maybe some other stuff should get cut so I can watch that kind of stuff, I suppose. Because, I'm just throwing it out there. You never got to talk about it, so hey, why don't we go ahead and do this anyway, too? Battle of the Belts. I'm going to say from a TV...
Yeah, I was sick last week, so I can do a show.
from a watching on TV perspective... not my favorite AEW effort. I will put it that way. What did you think about the live experience?
Well, we brought our friend Trisha with us, who has never been to a show before. So she had a good time. She didn't really know too many people, but she had a good time. All right. So that's always the judge. If you can take somebody who has no idea what wrestling's going, what's going on, and they have a good time.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a good sign.
Okay. For us, like, she wasn't blown away, though. Like, imagine someone who's never been to wrestling, and they went to WrestleMania 30 with us. That's an body experience for somebody, you know?
And I guess I'm thinking, too, of our one friend who, her first event was Hell in a Cell, Mick Foley versus The Undertaker. And it's just like that made such a lasting impression on her, because it's just like, what the fuck is going on in this match? And that live experience at 30 was definitely that way, because you get the Brock Lesnar, what the fucking going on, and then you get Daniel Bryan winning the championship at the end of the night, and everything was just chaos that night.
Guess what we consistently forget about? That started with Hulk Hogan talking about the Silver Dome. Then Steve Austin came out and think that he was going to stunt Hulk Hogan. And then The Rock came in the ring. That's how the show started. And then you had Triple H, Daniel Bryan after that.
Oh.
I remember losing my voice halfway through. I had to go get something to drink. That's how that show started. Not including all the other awesome stuff we saw. Everyone forgets about that. The first time Hogan and Steve Austin are in the ring together.
Well, and that was one of the more epic fuck-ups, too. With the whole Silver Dome thing.
Yeah.
So, I can't believe I forgot about that. And if there's anyone that is fun to clown on, it's certainly Hulk Hogan. So,
But yeah, okay, so going back to Battle of the Belts, I was underwhelmed. I missed Rampage the night before. I had no idea why Keith Starks was taking on Matt Sydal. Made no sense to me.
Uh-oh. Like,
what's going on? And then Britt Baker and Rio was good.
Was a good match. Like, and I even thought that...
So Sammy...
Dustin and Sammy was good, but...
I thought it was good, too. But they fell prey to the, hey, let's do a bunch of shit that makes no sense to get a cheap pop. Like, a destroyer through a table to the outside, all this stuff, and it's like, okay, come on. I just don't like those. That's just personal preference. I don't like it. But I really enjoyed the end of that match. Because I cannot remember seeing somebody get pinned off of something like that. So I thought that was cool. Just for that part, I thought it was cool. I like Daniel Garcia getting in the ring afterwards. That was fun.
I'm trying to think of the actual pinfall there. And
it was where they going back. So, you know, like someone tries to pin somebody, they roll backwards. Someone tries for a pin. Roll backwards. Someone tries for a pin. Roll backwards. Like they keep going back and forth like seesawing.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then Sammy got him with it. It was like, okay. It legit looked like Dustin Rhodes was hurt for a while. when we were there. I don't know. I haven't gone back to watch it on TV. I was there, so.
Yeah. I have watched back very few shows that I have been at live.
Yeah. But it's the... Oh, PCO was the other one of the Ring of Honor guys, which, whatever. It was on. But anyway, main event was really good. We had a guy that was behind us that was super intense and super into it.
Yeah.
Which I thought made it more fun. He was legit treating it like he was watching his favorite football team.
Oh.
Like, how can we not have put the, how can she not put her away already? Like, come on, she's trash. Let's go. Let's do this already. So, to me, like, he made it more intense for me. Like, goddamn. Because I did not want Ryo to win. I just don't like Ryo. Doesn't matter. and that's what, that he was clearly on the Britt Baker side. So, this almost led to me getting in a fight with somebody.
Oh, my God.
Because the match ends, and they have... Then Tony Khan came out and was like, hey, we got all these matches coming up. I'm like, okay. It was all for Dark. Well, the guy leaves, and... You know when you go to a show and you've got those people who think they're really funny or that they're smarter than everybody else? So they're making jokes with wrestling smart, like, vernacular.
Yeah.
It's like... So they're doing this the whole show. And I'm like, I don't even know why you're here. Why'd you pay money to just act like dicks? Well, this guy ended up leaving with him and his girlfriend or kids or something like that, and they start dogging on him after he left. That is coward shit. Man, that guy really thinks this is real. No, he doesn't. You're at a show because you're invested. Like, did you see Spider-Man? The new one?
No, I have still not seen that one.
It's really good.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, people were getting actually emotional watching the movie because they're invested in it. And if you make fun of them for that, I will actually challenge you on that and go, why the fuck are you here then? You're just here to watch, to fill in the app? Like, no. You went to this wrestling show because you're invested in what's going on. You're watching a TV show. You're watching a band. You're watching a video. You're doing this because you are invested in it. So this guy was getting emotional because he did not want Britt Baker to lose. Isn't that what you're there for? Like, this is the entire reason we watch this stuff.
Yeah, to be invested. Yeah. I kind of laughed when I saw someone post something about not being a bandwagon fan, because that's one of those things that I'm like, didn't that term die out already? I was like, do people still fucking think about those things? Like, yeah. It's just like, yes, the team that is losing is not going to get as much interest. Like, this is not surprising, guys. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, there's an easy logic to that.
Yeah. So these guys are dogging this guy, and I'm like, and I was into the match, too. I was intense. I'm like, this is not going to happen. So they got me. Like, you know, the fan comes out when you're there.
Yeah.
You should be a fan when you're there. You shouldn't be going, well, you know, his contract comes up, and I'm like, no, shut up, dick. Who cares? Everyone knows, by the way. For the majority of the people at this show already know what's going on. So just shut up. So you could, Elise and Trisha were clearly looking at me like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm about to say something to him. And Elise goes, don't say anything. I was like, they're being fucking dicks. I was like, they're assholes. They've been doing shit all night, and it's finally like my last nerve. So they did something else, and I just turned around and glared. And I'm not exactly a small person anymore, but they just kind of looked like, what do you want? I'm like, I just kind of shook my head and just turned back around. And if they would have said something, I would have dove on them. Like, it's just, I can't stand that stuff. Even when we went, we didn't do that. Now, we may have shit-talked some little kids. That's fun. Because you just, like, you're into the show, you're shit-talking them. That's fun stuff. But I'm not sitting there going, I'll make it fun of somebody for cheering for a show. They, like, you buy a ticket for a wrestling show, and you sit on your hands and go, oh, we, you know, this is, you know, they got a feud coming down the line with Darby Allin, blah, blah, blah. Shut up, bitch. No one cares. Shut up.
Yeah. And, buy a ticket to be a fan.
It's even like the last time we went, you were asking if I was singing Judas along with the crowd, and I was like, hell yes, I did. Because I'm there for the experience. I'm not there to be like, nah, I'm not doing this. Because I'm like, yeah, fucking have fun. If anything over the last 2 years has taught us to have fun when you can. Jesus.
Fuck that. I'm still not singing that song. I'll do anything else at the AEW shows, but fuck that song.
But yeah, but outside of that, the rest of that show was just okay.
Oh.
And that was the disappointing part. When you buy a ticket for a show called Battle of the Belts, and you're trying to say that it's like Clash of Champions, right?
Yeah.
When they had Adam Page and Bryan Danielson on Monday, I was like, okay. And then the main event, tag team titles, I went, wait a minute. What are we getting for Battle of the Belts? And we got some stuff, but when they sold it as being this special event, it turned out to be a good edition of Rampage.
Uh-oh.
You know?
Yes.
And that...
Yes.
That doesn't cut it with the hype. So, and a lot of people weren't there. No Bucks, no Red Dragon, no Adam Cole, Omega, obviously. No Moxley, obviously. No Cody. Well, obviously, he couldn't be there. Duh. No Jericho.
But
no
still.
Echo, Santana Ortiz.
I mean, yeah. But your point, I think, is still valid. Like, that is a lot of bodies and a lot of big names not there.
Yeah. Yeah, no MJF. Saw that. No CM Punk. No Bryan Danielson, who they've just not even acknowledged exists the last few weeks since that match.
I kind of feel like I saw a story about that on my phone pop up, but then when I went to search for it, I didn't see anything and I stopped. Like, because I'm like, if it's not within a click, I don't want to bother now. but yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about the fact that he has not, there has been just nothing on his front.
Yeah.
There.
And that's also, there's no Miro, who they barely mentioned until Cody mentioned him. Like, no Malakai Black, like, nothing.
Black was on this week.
Yeah, no. What I'm talking about is the Battle of the Belts thing.
Oh,
dark matches. And we did, I mean, Adam Page was there, so that was cool. Some of the Dark Order guys, John Silver wasn't there, as far as I remember. Or was he? No. Because it was Ten and Alan Angels. And by the way, Ten is really working out hard. That man is gigantic. We had good seats, you can tell. So, Matt Hardy was there, and I say this with all respect and concern, he has to stop. He can't move, man. No, I mean, honestly, he can't move. It was rough. And I know he's had, like, that weird thing with his hip fusing with his leg or something like that, but he's walking so weird. It was kind of sad, but the funniest part was it was AEW Dark. It was Paige in the Dark Order versus Matt Hardy, Serpentico, and somebody else. I want to say Isaiah. Wait. What was it? Isaiah Kennedy? God damn it. What's his name from Private Party?
Cassidy. Isaiah Cassidy.
Cassidy. Thank you. I knew I was wrong. So as soon as Serpentico showed up, I was like, oh, well, we know who's taking this L. And yeah, that's who lost. So I was like, all right. But yeah. So like, yeah. Obviously, Phoenix wasn't there. But yeah, it was like a bunch of people weren't there. So they kind of gave the spotlight to other people. Will Hobbs was there. Another enormous man in person. And honestly, he's a star. That's the first time seeing him live. You've seen him on TV. He's got a really good look about him.
Uh-huh.
Good personality. But then you see him live, and dude, he stands. So they cultivate him, and they've got a star. But...
Yeah, I mean, I'm almost surprised that he hasn't gotten more push, honestly. You know, he's kind of been used as the tough guy who gets beat eventually. I know that he's gotten some wins back, but...
Yeah.
He's still second fiddle to Ricky Starks.
Yeah. Well, Starks is the personality, though. I mean,
there's no way
around that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Oh, Hook was there. He wasn't on TV, but Tony Khan, it's weird, but dude, that kid is over.
Oh.
When Tony Khan was out there, was like, send Hook, that place went nuts. And all he did was walk on the stage and walk back through the other gate or whatever. That's all he did.
Oh, that's...
I get it, but...
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely... online, it has definitely been a thing. And that's hilarious that it's also a live thing now.
Yeah. So, they got something. I mean, you know, you say AEW is made stars, but clearly they have one. Too bad, I think he's, 20? But, and they're doing a really good job of protecting that kid, too. Putting him with people he can either dominate or get carried. So...
Yeah, I mean, only had a handful of matches so far, too, so it's not like...
Yeah, yeah.
He's, because what, wasn't fine. It just a couple of Rampages ago was his first matchup, I believe.
Right, yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's you get new stars, you listen to the crowd and push. I mean, if the crowd's behind somebody... why would you not want that?
You know, that was kind of funny.
Old money.
It was one of those stories that I read about Matt Hardy explaining why Vince McMahon liked to have people lose in their hometown. And
I didn't see this.
It was something in the vicinity that you know, the babyface can always bounce back from a loss, essentially, is what it comes down to. But it's just like and then it would be too predictable to win in their hometown, and it's just like, well, in most sports events, if you're the home team, you do actually win more often. So you're kind of going against precedence.
Listen, if you want to talk about the genius of Vince McMahon, we can. But what's the fucking point? It's that ship has sailed
long ago.
Like, what's the best thing going in WWE right now?
The Lesnar-Roman Reigns stuff, I would say.
Or, like, Lesnar-Lashley. Anything with Lesnar, right?
Yeah.
Because Brock controls what he can do. He's one of the rare guys that's like, I'm doing this, I'm not doing this.
Oh.
And then you add Roman in, and then...
And yeah, Roman's like,
that's why it's good. You have Paul Heyman involved as well. You know?
Yeah, you have curators in between Vince McMahon and the storyline.
Yes, you've taken, like, I'm sure Vince is like, well, Vince obviously signed enough, but at the same time, what's he going to do? No, And Brock will be like, I'm not coming to work. Like, I have so many dates, I'm agreeing to things. So you have Brock, Roman, Lashley now, and Paul Heyman all involved in the same thing, and it's really good. And guess what? Vince McMahon's stupid-ass genius and writing staff is no longer involved. Go figure. But no, I've had it with the Vince McMahon's genius. Maybe he was at one time. He's not now. Uh-oh. You can't convince me otherwise.
Yeah.
Because I just saw highlights. I did not watch the show. But I saw highlights of Alpha Academy doing a graduation ceremony or something.
Yes.
And challenging people to intellectual game. Like, oh my God, what are we doing?
I mean, who doesn't want to see Randy Orton and Matt Riddle in a quiz show setting?
I mean, I understand the comedic value of that. But it doesn't make sense. So, whatever. It just...
It's the Alpha Academy, Jeremy. I mean, they're smart.
Yes, yeah, because they're alpha males. That's why. They're stronger, bigger, and better than you. And I guess Chad Gable, since although he did have a very funny line when he was talking about his education, he goes, "Don't boo education, that's gross." I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah,
but he's
just
the guy that suffers.
There are so many times where it does get booed and no one says anything, so that was pretty hilarious that he said that for a change.
Yeah. I mean, just very quick, too. So, but no, I'm very into Roman and Seth. I do not think Seth will beat him. I'm not stupid. But I love the fact that they're actually using their history where they don't like you remembering. And how Seth is like, I own Roman Reigns. So it's kind of fun. Even though you know Roman's going to win. Come on.
Oh.
And then.
Right.
I'm happy we're finally getting it. Lashley and Brock. But this just seems like this should have been a WrestleMania match. And I know, like, Royal Rumble's in a dome, so they need a big match. But this just kind of came out of the blue. It would have been better if Lashley was just being dominant for months on end. And that's how we got there. But, you know, as long as we get it, I'm fine. Like, I'm actually going to watch the Royal Rumble just for that match.
Yeah.
Or actually, those two matches.
And they have done a pretty decent job of... The upper card stuff really, I guess it's almost the upper card stuff in general is not that bad off in a lot of ways. Because, yeah, that's another situation that's pretty well off there. It's just everything else that's a complete and utter mess.
Yeah. Johnny Knoxville's in the Royal Rumble because he's promoting
Jackass 4.
Yeah, which I can't wait to see. So Sami Zayn's in there with him now. Okay. I guess Edge and the Miz isn't bad per se. It's just not something I wanted to see. Like, it doesn't do anything for me.
Oh, yeah, I've kind of talked about this on and off with Chris. Like, I guess when Edge and Christian stopped doing their podcast and you kind of the signs were kind of around that Edge was coming back, I was assuming that he was going to wrestle the new blood of the WWE, but it has turned out to be the exact opposite. And yeah, I'm with you. I'm not really here for it. Like, the segments have been good. I laughed at the comically large brick that they used this week for Maryse to hit old Betty Phoenix with there. I really felt like they could have brought out a frying pan and tried to impale her bodily shape into it and really gone cartoony.
Yeah.
like it's well executed, but like I'm with you. Like it's just like okay, cool, but I'm not that invested in it either.
No, and it's like it's even trickling down to NXT, which that show just gets more and more bizarre to me. Like we're obviously going to cover the one thing. But, like, LA Knight all of a sudden is just a good guy. It's never been explained. He just, hey, cheer for him. Like, well, what? Why?
Because he was with the good guy, or he was with NXT Black and Gold. That's essentially what it came down to. That was his babyface turn. Me, that was the dividing line of when they were treating him like a babyface, because then Grayson Waller started picking on him after that.
Yeah, and, I'm still torn on that guy, but...
Yeah, there's some effort there going into what he's doing. But yeah, I'm not sure that I'm buying what he's selling. At the current moment, you know, it goes back to that, initial impression meter here, still going off, and like it's still high, very high on Bron Breakker. And Grayson Waller, he's had some time here with AJ Styles. He's gotten extra TV time on the main roster because of it. And it's just like, eh. You know, like, it's not like he hasn't had a chance to prove himself so far. Like, they have definitely given him some stuff to work with, and it's just, you know, I'm still going, meh. And it's been a couple of weeks, you know, at least a month or a couple of months of meh. You know, like,
yeah.
I shouldn't toss him out after 2 months, but. It's also a good way to start either.
Yeah, well, it almost seemed like an experiment. Because remember, we always talk about how there's an experimental time between now and Royal Rumble. So maybe he was like a short-term experiment. And then AJ just beats him and disappears and it's never mentioned again. But the NXT stuff, man, it just gets more and more perplexing. Like, Bron Breakker, trying to be nice about it, is back there shouting encouragement to two guys that were jobbers that happened to win their match. So he's like the locker room leader or something now, and it's like, oh man, just make him a badass. Just let him be a badass. You know? Like, what are we doing? You got the weird feud with Cameron Grimes, Carmelo Hayes, and... Oh no, I forgot the other one. Who was Carmelo bitching with? And then Cameron Grimes showed up. But it's like everything's this weird mix of old and new, and the old people seem so discounted. Like Tony D'Angelo had a funeral for Pete Dunne. What? Like, is Pete moving on? Which is fine. Which really, if you're the old guard in NXT, you really got to want to move on.
Yeah, I can't imagine that you want to be around at the current moment.
No. Yeah, why would you? I mean, Dakota Kai got squeaked out a win. But who was one of the women that lost shouldn't have? I can't remember. Like Cora Jade beat somebody, I think.
Oh, I'm scrolling through. Oh, well, Kaylee Ray lost to Ivy Nile.
That was it. Listen, that match should have never happened. I like Ivy Nile. Maybe that's part of the problem. That should have never happened. Kaylee Ray should not be losing at all. Like, she's a legitimate, like, threat. And here we are having people lose for no goddamn reason. And I know it got covered up real quick, the heat back, whatever else. But it's like, if you want to make the argument that Kaylee Ray came from NXT UK and no one paid attention to who she was, okay, then you have someone new coming in that shouldn't be losing. Or you have an established star that everyone knows took forever to get beaten in NXT UK and come in and gets beat by Ivy Nile. Yes, with shenanigans, still doesn't matter. And in finding out that, like, Bruce Pritchard is the one that everyone reports to for this stuff, this shit's going to happen all the time. There's going to be no one dominant except for Bron Breakker. And no, Gunther is going to fall prey to the exact same stuff.
Oh.
Sorry, I brought that up on purpose.
Oh. Dude,
I know Gunther is a German name, right? If you don't call him, like, Gunther Badass or just something, Gunther is a doofus ass sounding name. There's no way around it. There just is. It's the English equivalent of Hermie. If you named Walter Hermie, you would get the exact same douche chills as if Kevin had called him Gunther.
So is the plan to change his name later?
No, his name is... It was supposed to be Gunther Stark or Starks. But funny, you didn't hear about the story, did you?
Well, I saw that on the rest, the little bit of wrestling Twitter that I looked at this week. I did see that the WWE had trademarked a Nazi U-boat captain's name. And I'm imagining that's what this Gunther is in reference to.
Yep. Now listen, regardless of all that other stuff, Gunther Stark doesn't sound too bad. But just calling the guy Gunther, you might as well just call him fucking George. And I know, I was like, well, his name's Walter. No, it's Walter. That's a lot cooler sounding than Walter. And yes, I know Walter screams indie. I get it. But shit, man, it's better than Gunther or Hermie or George. Or just call him Caleb. Like, ugh. Which, by the way, there's a guy in Impact Wrestling named Caleb, so never mind. But anyways. But he's a fucking dork on the show, so that you know.
He would have looked weird as Caleb. Walter would still look weird as a Caleb.
Yeah, it's I know. Someone's name. They don't have to, but they do. And it's just stupid. There's no way around it. It's stupid. But whatever. It's too late. It's what's going to happen. I guess they stopped. They killed their trademark attempt of the Gunther Starks.
Yeah, that was probably a good plan. I mean, I'm sure that there are other people in the world named that without the knowledge that they're doing what they're doing, you know what I mean?
Sure. Well, it's like, all right, imagine if they went with Joseph, was it Mengele? Who's the Nazi doctor that experimented on the Jews, right?
Yeah.
Imagine they were like, yeah, we're gonna trademark Joseph Mengele. It's like, you know who that is, right? Oh. Well, let's call him Joseph instead. Well, he's not fucking Mary's husband, dude. So no, he can't do that either. It doesn't make any sense. A little Christian joke there for all of you. But it's just, there's no need for it. Leave his name the same. And really, why is he in NXT 2.0? It doesn't fit. Everyone's got these goofy fucking characters now. And then here he is, as the ring general, Gunther. Imagine being so creatively bankrupt that you would change people's names for no reason. But it is amazing AJ Styles is still AJ Styles.
Yeah. Is he the last one to come in to get that treatment?
What about Shinsuke Nakamura? He had the same name in NXT, and that came up with the roster the same.
Yeah, the only thing I can think is that, you know, both of those two guys had put in a ridiculous amount of time. And I'm not saying that Walter didn't, but who was the guy in between Walter and those two that that we were talking about?
Forgot.
Oh well. Yeah, but. I was hoping you'd help me out there, but I can't remember either. So
yeah, I left you hanging, sorry.
Yeah, that was but yeah, it was about tenure there. Oh yeah, Walter really shouldn't. Like, it's another one of those ones that's just like, he was this name in your product.
Yep.
Like,
well, so was Doudrop, but, you know, whatever. So.
Well, yeah. She's.
Well, I know Piper Nevin doesn't quite carry the same name as Walter did, or Success, but still. Just annoying shit.
Yeah, but I mean, still, both of them were downgrades in names.
Okay. Just thought of this. Gunther or Doudrop? Which one's worse?
You know, I mean, I respect...
Not that easy, though.
I respect Doudrop for trying to own that name. But I just think that is, to me, more detrimental than it is helpful. And Gunther, though, somehow even more boring than Walter. You know. Yeah, it's bad, but it's not completely awful. I'm going Doudrop in that situation.
Yeah. Oof. I don't know. I want to say yes. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm not sure. I really don't know. It's funny. I'm the one that brought it up and immediately go, don't know. So, you know, whatever. But yeah, man, and that's why, like, I don't know how you felt about Cody Rhodes on AEW this week.
Oh.
I thought his promo was kind of fun, to be honest.
And that was something
that weird thing.
I didn't catch the first hour, and they don't put that much up on YouTube, and I didn't watch that before the show here. But I did see some people going, oh, Cody Rhodes knows exactly what he's doing. If he's playing into the sentiment that has been out there now, I would say that he is wised up, to what is going on around him, and is going with the flow. And that is to his credit. Because
I also think Cody Rhodes is smart enough. He knows he's an egomaniac, so he's just going to constantly keep bouncing around and saying things that people want to hear.
Uh-oh.
You know? Because,
yeah.
I mean, the line that cracked me up was one that got everybody. He's like, you know, when people come here, we don't rename them, what is it? Or Gunther Van McGillibuddy or whatever. You know he did that on purpose. Like, all right, yeah, haha, fancy. See, I'm cool. Like,
oh,
I know exactly what to say. That's gonna get your spirits up. So, That to me was pretty funny. There was something else he said. Oh, when he was talking about the Young Bucks starting the Wednesday Night War all over again. And he's like, yeah, I know, Red Dragon, you passed your hip toss class. He's doing that to placate the AEW fans who hate WWE. And yet they buy into it. So it's like, he knows what he's doing. And, you know, because everyone wants to go, AEW is the best, blah, 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 this is whatever, right? Well, it's just kind of funny that way because it just seems disingenuous, but at the same time, sincere. Because you could see him, whenever he was talking something, you could see him, like, moving his head, making a face, and then he'd go into something else that people wanted to hear. So,
oh, okay.
I just thought it was kind of clever on his part.
I'll have to give it. I think I did see it on their YouTube channel, so I'll have to give it a watch after the
yeah,
show here.
The YouTube channel, it actually covers the entire thing. It's pretty good. Now, it kind of rambles, mind you.
Oh, it's a Cody Rhodes promo at this point. Like,
exactly.
If you're not expecting some level of, I mean, because he does get like Triple H windy sometimes. Well, I shouldn't even say sometimes, all the time, where you're just like, okay, dude, like, you had a 10-minute promo and like 8 minutes was great, but I know that you have 2 minutes of fluff in here, and I don't want to have that part.
Yeah. The one that cracked me up, I really dug the promo because there's so many different things you can pull from it. And, you know, he's talking, like, he brings up Brody King, and he brings up Brody Lee's kid. He was talking about Punk, and he goes, I'm the one that did all this. But CM Punk talked about it. I did it all. So the crowd even reacted like, yeah, wait, what? Wait, you? And then it makes them question everything. So it kept everybody off balance, which I thought was kind of the genius part of it. They wanted to boom. They were chanting Royal Rumble. Then he brings up something which, you know, in his mind is factually correct. But then you think about it and go, yeah, Cody left, went to Impact. In the middle of his Impact thing, the story, left for New Japan, comes back, has one match, I believe, in Impact, leaves, does all this stuff with the Elite, starts the company, gets all these people back into wrestling. But, I mean, obviously it discounts Tony Khan's involvement, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, all of them. So Cody says all these things where the crowd gets behind him without realizing, hey, he's playing you.
Oh, that's great.
And that's where I thought it was great. So, because I couldn't tell what he was talking about. He was talking about how he saw, I can't remember who it was, pick a fight with Jay Lethal. He's like, you need to stay away from him. And I'm like, wait, why are you sticking up for the Ring of Honor guy? Like, wait, what's going on here? So, give it a listen. I thought it was really good. Because AEW show was kind of weird last night. Started with Moxley was a good idea.
I ended up catching the back half of AEW, so it was all that first hour stuff that I missed out on, so yeah. I missed out on Moxley coming back also.
Well, the Moxley stuff was weird because he came back and somebody in the crowd yelled, get that piece of trash out of the ring, he sucks. And Moxley goes, hey, fuck you, buddy. Security, kick him out. And I'm like, he didn't say anything. Like, he didn't say anything that warrants getting kicked out.
Oh.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, annoying because you want to hear what he has to say, but he didn't do anything wrong. Like, he just, like, that's
yelling as a fan.
Right. It's just doing your thing and, you know, whatever else. But I think when it first happened, everyone said that the guy yelled, "Get that drunken piece of trash out of the ring." And I was just listening to a video before we started. No, he did not say that.
Oh, okay.
So, you know.
He just said trash?
There's a... Yeah, he's like, just get this piece of trash out of the ring. He sucks. Which, by the way, you're allowed to say. Because you're not happy about it, John Moxley. You don't like him. That's absolutely fair.
Yeah,
I... You don't have to like all the baby faces. But at the same time, man, the guy just came back from alcohol rehab after 3 months. Shut the fuck up.
Hey, yeah, I'm like, what's...
Save your hate for another day.
Yeah, I'm like, what did he do to you that makes you hate him for cleaning up his life? You know?
Yeah.
If you can't do the alcohol or you've been doing it too hard and you need to stop, yeah, go, please go get help. That is always welcome here. We keep on drinking because we do not think we need help. So
I will say, after seeing the transformation from Moxley when he left to Moxley now,
Well, like, he was looking.
He stopped drinking, and that's what happens. Like, oh, wow, look at that.
He was looking pretty gassed up there for a minute. Does he look not as gassed up?
He looks like Dean Ambrose. You know what I mean? Like skinny, healthy, alive, vibrant, which John Moxley did not. He looked bloated. His face was gigantic. His hair, like, it was bad. You didn't realize it was bad.
I just thought...
You see him when he comes out.
Because some of it looked like it was muscle that he was putting on, I kind of dismissed it. He's just packing on weight to be more of a heavyweight type of thing.
Yeah.
But I did find it strange at some point, because I think I said to the wife, I'm like, man, I always remember him talking about doing all this outdoor training and bike riding and all this kind of cardio heavy stuff. Like, this is a real change in philosophy for this guy.
Yeah, and I'm not obviously comparing bodies to this guy because he's way, like, he looks way better in shape. But when you're doing this stuff, I mean, your body, like, you don't automatically get a gut. It disperses other places. Your head gets big. Face gets big.
Yeah. Oh.
You look ripped.
Right.
And now he was done drinking, then, you know, he doesn't anymore. And that's the killer part of it is, I think that's what it was. He was drinking so much, he appeared bigger because his body was bloating out.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is just like, wow, okay. Get, like, 3 months not on the road and doing all this other stuff, like, it really did him well.
Yeah.
And I hope for his sake it continues. I really do. As I got older, I like seeing people get their shit together, you know?
Yeah, I mean, good for him. You know, I guess I was just like, ooh, man. He got really stressed after having a kid. Just like, man.
Well, his promo was talking about how he took a flight, didn't know where he was driving, got off the side of the road, and was like, you know, the dark clouds are over him, he didn't know what was going on, all this stuff. And you're like, and I've never been there for that like that, but I've been that down before. But to hear somebody that, you know, always acts fearless and whatever else, right?
Oh,
have somebody
bring on the danger.
That, act that way. Yeah. But So to have somebody that's constantly acting like a badass come up and say that stuff, it's like, well, wow, okay. Like, it gets your attention. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
But he was also very much of a character. So.
That does not surprise me either. He is definitely a working man.
Yeah, and he's just, I guess, private. I mean, he didn't want to talk about it. I'm like, dude, you have to. So.
But
that was about it for AEW, though. Like, that show was just okay.
Because what happened? Because I did just see the highlights of the Adam Cole, Britt Baker, Cassidy, and Statlander match. As we were doing the show. Oh, and I guess I am not shocked that CM Punk and Sean Spears went for 11 seconds.
That was weird. Like, I don't know how to feel about Sean Spears. Because remember when everyone was like, oh, they're going to give Ty Dillinger a chance and this bullshit and all that, right? And then he's giving him a chance now, and it's not really, you know,
it hasn't
really come to fruition. Like,
He is one of those guys that
just wants a chance.
Yeah, he came over with somewhat high expectations, I feel like. And I don't know what he, like, I'm almost more interested in what he is thinking to himself at this point. Because he was another one that Edge and Christian really put over as a great worker. But at this point, like, he hasn't hit and he's, like, 40.
Yeah. I think this is as far as he's going. He's a lackey for MJF, bottom to upper mid card, like, seemingly comedy matches, and that's it for him. I really do think this is his limit right now, is he's going to go in wrestling.
Yeah, like, he is what he is, because that was another thing, because Chris and I were talking about it. This has been 3 years now for AEW. And,
yeah,
you know, this is really, they've been around now, you know, and he's kind of a lived in commodity,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a wholly separate from, his NXT / brief WWE main roster run. You know?
I always forget he was on the main roster because he had that pretty good match with Randy Orton. And never did we see it again.
Yeah, and that's, like, I wasn't ever terribly impressed. Like, he wasn't the guy that ever stole the show in one of the multi-man matches. He wasn't the guy doing the crazy stunt to be remembered. You know, he was part of some of those, but I don't remember any of his parts, you know? Like, it's not even like he's done something to stand out, and you're like, oh, why isn't AEW giving him a chance? Like, he's another guy that, I guess, depending upon his length of contract, if Tony Khan's talking about just not renewing contracts instead of outright firing people, he's a guy that's just like, I don't know why you have him on the roster, honestly. Like you said, like, he's at his ceiling. Like, he's probably better off doing something like Matt Cardona is doing at this point.
I just had a point. I totally lost it. Oh, well.
I can't remember
what you said. Oh, well. Yeah, it is what it is. So, can't all be winners. We got about 300 to get in the Hall of Fame, you know? So, but yeah, no, he's a guy that there was much higher expectations. And then he came out with that dude-ass mohawk, and you're like, eh? So right there, that probably should have been an indication that, you know what, I'm still sticking to the Vince McMahon's not a genius, but he may have been right.
But then
again, Sean Spears may have just wanted an opportunity to do something, which he was not getting.
AEW has certainly given him some opportunities, and I don't think he's necessarily taken advantage of them there. Like, he hasn't been saddled with... The 10 thing is fun, and it gets people to chant along very easily. Like, it's one of those things that it's a great introductory thing, but it also, to me, is one of those things that you need to transition out of that in a hurry, because it is so limiting. Like, it's catchy, and it gets people behind you, but you've got to move beyond that, or you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He hasn't been saddled with anything like that in AEW.
Yeah, I think what you were saying earlier was you were talking about keeping him around. Well, he also does have his own school, you know, wrestling school.
Oh.
So maybe he's just going to be there to help the younger guys, but he just had a match with CM Punk. So, yeah, I don't think he's there, you know, to help younger guys. Not yet, at least. So.
Because I don't watch Elevation or whatever the other YouTube show is, I guess I'm not sure how much he's working with some of the younger talents in those matches.
Doesn't seem like a lot. To be completely honest, does not seem like a lot. So, you know, it's funny to even talk about him, because Sean Spears has been such a non-factor, really, outside of that whole time where the supposed gimmicked chair didn't break correctly over Cody's head.
Oh,
everyone kind of forgets about that stuff.
Yeah, well, he's still the chairman. And, yep, I guess it's a thing.
Okay. So.
Yep, because
yeah, the rest of it was just honestly just whatever. Like, nothing great, nothing terrible, it was just was. So.
Oh, yeah, because... Yeah, Malachi and Brody King had their match, which was hilarious.
That's exactly how the match should have gone.
Lance Archer had an entirely too long squash match against Frankie Kazarian. I mean, that was
the heavy metal rebel, Frankie Kazarian?
That was one where I'm just like, I was in tears. I believe it was Jim Ross called Frankie Kazarian underrated. And I'm just like, okay, yep, sure. Sure. If that's the case, that dude has been underrated for a decade. And like, he's kind of like the Sean Spears, but he never got to the WWE. Like, everyone always talks about how great he is, but he's never really been the main champion. Or, like, I feel like, was he Impact champion at some point? Later down the line, like when Eddie Edwards was champion or something? Did he fight Eddie Edwards for the championship? I feel like maybe he could have then, but he could have been out of there also. Before anything like that happened, like, I guess my point is that he's never really won the big championship. You know?
No.
He's just kind of been around there like Spears, and he's gotten chances, and it's just like, okay, you are what you are at this point, you know? Like, after 20 some odd years in the business, you're not really going to change. What are you laughing at the guest appearance by Angel here?
No, it's just what you said, just like, oh boy. But whatever.
Yep. I don't know why. We've been hitting some maybe off wrestling meta talk today.
Because what are we supposed to talk about? Raw again or SmackDown or just like ugh. Boring shit. It's boring. That's the biggest problem.
Oh.
I'm just gonna rant for no fucking reason. So.
Oh man. Well, do you want to wrap this one up? I don't really have any other topics to bring up. We talked about your live attendance.
Nothing else.
Kind of NXT in general. I feel like we've done it all.
What are we supposed to talk about with NXT? Everyone we used to like is not important. The people that we just don't really know are more important and better. Think about that. You have all these people you watch for all this time. They're great. They're cream of the crop. They spent all this time convincing you NXT was good and on par with Raw and SmackDown, right? And all of a sudden, a bunch of people you don't know who the hell they are beating all the guys and all the people you leave are leaving. Or love are leaving. Or don't matter anymore.
Yeah. It's definitely a tough one to get into.
Because it wasn't even like a real transition, you know? There wasn't a story. There wasn't a win streak or, hey, this guy's pretty good. Check this guy out. No. All of a sudden, you just come in and you're beating guys that you like. That's it.
It was an abrupt halt. It wasn't a slow changeover. It was an about face, and I guess it was kind of interesting that a lot of those guys had their contracts up within the same calendar year.
Yeah,
because
I'm even looking at.
I guess because Gargano got there earlier, I'm surprised his ended around the same time. But I guess O'Reilly, Cole, and Fish, I feel like they all kind of arrived around the same time. Now, I know Fish got let go earlier than the other two, but I remember watching, basically waited out, right?
Yeah, but I remember watching NXT when Kyle O'Reilly had a singles match, Bobby Fish had a singles match, and all of a sudden they show up at the end of the Drew McIntyre Andrade championship match. And I'm like, you just showed them jobbing out to people. And then Adam Cole shows up. You're like, oh, okay. But it was like they didn't really have a plan for them either at the time. That was way back. But
oh, yeah.
It was just kind of weird. I don't know where I was going with that, actually. Damn it.
It was your point, so I'm not in your head to be able to pull it out.
Which makes it even worse, by the way. I just totally farted out. All right, let's go.
Okay, I'll tell you what. There is this one beer that I am probably about 90% sure that my younger brother gave to me because it's from Gristhouse Brewing in Pittsburgh. And I kind of wondered after actually looking at it why he gave it to me. It's called Morning Feels Coffee and Tea Ale. 6.5% ABV. I'll tell you what, way better than I was expecting.
Really? That sounds awful.
The tea and coffee kind of balance fairly nicely. It has been one of those weird things where I still do not drink coffee, but I am cool with coffee being a component of my beers. It tends to be dark beers that take to coffee well. But some of these lighter beers, when they get infused right, I like them. And this one is better than I expected. I would not get it again. But I will say that.
What a rousing endorsement. It's pretty good. I'd never buy it again. But yeah, it's pretty good, you know?
Hey, Gristhouse makes a shit ton of stuff, and I will be reviewing plenty more of their beers in the near future.
Oof.
Anything like a
coffee blonde, a coffee stout, any of that, just pour it down the drain.
Oh, man.
So, like, Elise loves that stuff. I try them. I try every single one. Just on the off chance, my string of battles with COVID, I had a sniffles for a little bit, that maybe my taste buds have changed, so I actually enjoy them. The answer would be no. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't need to hear about my sister-in-law's taste buds ever again, but I know I'm going to, so I'm just going to leave that there. Anywho, at DeFrango,
right, we'll talk about that off
the air. At DeFrango 11.
Wait a minute, I was drinking. I forgot Broken Skull IPA. So,
you actually got some of the break. So, do you like that then?
Yes, I liked it the first time too. It's not a hazy IPA. It's just an old standard hoppy ass IPA. So, yeah, they don't make those anymore. And, yeah, I'm quite taken with it. So,
I think that's the thing. Like, I guess I lean towards the hazies because I like the more tropical stuff and not quite as truly hoppy. There are some good, I believe it was the last show that I it was from Otto's in State College. There, that they just had a nice standard IPA that I felt like was really well balanced. Like, there was a little bitterness, there wasn't too much fruitiness, it was all just kind of poppiness, and it was pretty dang good. And I don't know, maybe I could give that another try at some point. That was one that I don't know if it was you that got me a couple of those, or if it was someone. Yeah, it had to have been you, because I got the glasses too. I think I got two bombers and a glass.
That's what it was way back.
It has been a while. Maybe I should give it a redo, just because it has been a while. I will say that the choice of variety for the podcast has been nice with the beer fridge. So that I can keep more stuff cold and choose
yes,
weirder
congratulations
beers.
Congratulations on having your own beer fridge. About time. So.
Oh, yep. Long time coming.
Your stuff will get in the mail. Last week didn't work out because I was sick and then had snow. So, but I finally got everything I wanted to get you. So,
alrighty. Sounds good. I'm too cheap to pay for shipping on those items.
Well, all you have to do is just tell them it's hand weights. So,
oh boy, we could use a couple of kettlebells. Just send those up along with the beer.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, that's even better. Everyone else like you say hand weights, like what? Don't worry about it. Just send the shit. All right, let's get out of here.
Yep. At DeFrang11, at Granny Maze, at Stunt Granny, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, download us Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.